Okay, William, hey, here I'm back again. Oh, it's taken me a long time to think of this chapter of conflict in the kitchens, but this one's going to be a good one. I've been thinking and thinking and thinking. Oh, my goodness, William. So, this is the next chapter, chapter 3, I think it is, of Payback from Mr. Glubb. And this is really, really, really a fun one today. So, chapter 3 is going to be conflict in the kitchens. Well, when I left you in chapter 2, Strongbones and GP have been trying to run away, get out of the cage, which they did. They got out of their dungeon, pretty smart, and they almost made it all the way out of Glubb's mountain, Troll Mountain, but they were caught by all of the werewolves who made up a big ruckus and a racket, and they woke up a lot of troll guards, and they woke up Mudrub, the guardian of the door, who came down and got so mad at them, and so he said, These humans, what are they doing here? They're not doing anything. They aren't even working. Send them to the kitchens. So Strongbones and GP were sent off to Glubb's kitchens, and they went to the major single kitchen of all Troll Mountain, the King's Kitchen, and they were sent there to work. Oh, dear. So Strongbones was so disappointed. He was trying to get away from Troll Mountain to get out of there. And GP was really, really amazed at what the situation they were in. He had thought they'd just walk in, talk to Mr. Glubb, and that'd be it. No way. So troll guards surrounded him, trying to move him along, pushing him with their spears, being kind of, I'm a troll. What are you? You're human. And they pushed him to the kitchens. Now, I got to tell you something as they get to the kitchens. Now, the kitchens are huge. The kitchens are huge, and they're run by the mammies. And the King's Kitchen is run by one of the biggest mammies of all, who happens to be Mr. Glubb's great aunt. We'll talk about her later, and she runs a tight kitchen, let me tell you. But in this kitchen, they take care of all of the food for Mr. Glubb and his big, big family and all of his friends who like to come over and have parties all the time. Pig outs, roast outs, mud pie slaps, you name it. They love to eat. And so the mammies run the kitchen. And then the aunties, well, the aunties are like the top chefs, right? The top chefs, and then the sisters, and then the people who are scrubbing the pots and pans. And those are typically troll teens who get into trouble. Yes, troll teens getting into trouble. And you know who's in the King's Kitchen? Yes, you do. You already met them. Grassy, Rocky, and Bernie. And that's where Strongbones and GP were sent. They were sent into a corner of the kitchen, and there they saw the big, big, huge kitchen stoves, and they had big ovens, and sisters were running around putting stuff in the ovens and pulling stuff out of the ovens, and aunties were stirring big pots on the stove, and then any time they finished, and whatever was in the pot was going to go off, they'd take that out of the pot, they'd put it in a bunch of bowls, they'd put it in a special cart, and off would run a sister pulling the little carts and everything, pulling it off to eat. And because there was a feast going on, Mr. Glubb's feast, that if you remember earlier on, it had started and it was still going, there was food flying all over the place. Well, you know what that meant? That meant there were lots of pots and pans that were coming off the stoves. Now, aunties cook and trolls eat. You might not call it the best food because if they burn something, it makes it look interesting. And they don't really care. And then they burn food on the side, and sometimes they use the same pot for a couple of dishes. And when they send it back for scrubbing, it has got burned food on it. It's got all sorts of nasty, messy stuff, and people have to clean it out. And that's what they made Strongbones and GP do. Big, huge pots. Oh, there were pots big enough for GP to climb into. He'd climb into it. He could climb out of it. And inside, he'd clean, clean, clean. And they gave him some brushes, and then they looked at him and said, well, whatever they said in troll, because my troll is pretty terrible. But they'd tell him, you have to clean these pots and pans. And they put a sister in charge of them. Her name was Fidget. And this sister was very, very, very fidgety, actually, and very, very distractible. But she was also kind of tough. And she looked at the two humans and said, humans, who, where do we get humans? And one of the troll guards said, doesn't matter, you're here to make them work and pay for their keep, because they're eating us out of house and home and Troll Mountain, and we can't have that. Well, that's kind of strange, because GP and Strongbones hadn't had anything to eat yet, but this is the way trolls think. So Fidget said, "Ooh, you go to work." Oh, they said, "Okay." Well, at that time, in the kitchens, if you were being a scrubber, you had to wear a big apron. And they put the apron on for a couple of reasons. One, because most of the scrubbers were unruly troll teens, the big apron made them stand out and you could see that they were there. So if anybody hit the trouble, you'd know it was one of the troll teens by the big apron. Then second, it was so sloppy and messy in there, it sort of did save your clothes. So she came over with these two big aprons. Fidget Cave went to Strong Bones and said, "Take off your jacket, hang it up on the shelf, put this apron on and go to work." Strong Bones said, "Oh." So he took his jacket off. He hung it on one of the pegs on the side of the kitchen. And then he went and put his apron on. Well, GP had his backpack. And he had his jacket on, but he had his backpack over his jacket. And he thought, I'm not taking my backpack. This is it. This is everything I have. My video recorder, my audio recorder, my everything I need. And I'm not taking this off. Not right now. No, So he started to put the apron on over his backpack. And oh, the sister got so angry at him. "Oh, what are you doing? What? Take that off. You take that off right now." And she pointed her finger at him. And she started jabbing at the backpack. "You take that off." And GP was saying, "No, I'm not. I'm leaving it. I'm taking it off. You can't touch it." Oh, she started grabbing at it, ripping at it. And the Strong Bones had to come up and get in the middle. Well, Fidget couldn't understand human. But GP could understand a little bit of troll. And it didn't sound very good. And Strong Bones said, look, take it off. We'll put it up on a peg and put your jacket over it. We'll put it under my jacket. Nobody will know what's hanging there. And besides, they have an alarm system. Don't you worry." Well, indeed, they do. Because trolls, I got to tell you a little bit about trolls. Trolls are natural thieves. Yes, they will steal anything. They'll steal anything they think they like. If it looks good, they'll steal it. If they think it's yours, they'll steal it. If it's interesting, they'll steal it. If they don't know what to do with it, but it looks kind of pretty, they'll steal it. And they'd steal from one another, too. But the thing about trolls is that trolls know that they like to steal things. And so trolls take a lot of care not to let their stuff get stolen. So trolls are always sort of on the defensive and watching their stuff. So in the kitchens... Now, in the kitchens, there's a rule. Well, in the kitchens, there are lots of rules. Because there are so many unruly troll teenagers. And there's one thing you have to know about being unruly. When you're being unruly, you need more rules. So because there's so many unruly teenagers, they have more rules in the kitchen than anywhere else in the castle of the mountain of King of Mr. Glub. So one of the rules is don't touch anybody else's stuff. Now that's important because if trolls are natural thieves and they're going to steal stuff from you just because they like to steal stuff from you, then you have to have a rule to make it strong. And so one of the big rules is don't steal somebody else's stuff. If you do, there are penalties. Oh my goodness, are there penalties? Oh my goodness, there are penalties. Big penalties, little penalties, you name it. Now, if you can get away with stealing someone's stuff without getting caught, that's a different story, because then it's up to the other person to prove that it was his, hers, not yours. And you see, it goes back and forth. And that's another principle of troll life I'm going to have to explain to you. So to forestall anybody stealing, they hired Pakwatchies. Oh, yes, you think Pakwatchies? What are the Pakwatchies doing there? Well, they originally had Pookas working for them, but the Pookas were so unreliable, and the Pookas tended to steal stuff too. And so they went over to the Pakwatchies, and so they hired the Pakwatchies, and every kitchen has a couple of Pakwatchies, and their job is to hang out and watch the shelves where people put their stuff. And if anybody who isn't a person who put it there comes up and tries to take it, then they set up an alarm. They have a little whistle, and they blow it. They blow the whistle. So Strongbone said, look, because he knew all about this. He knows about trolls. He says, look, we'll put them up there. We'll keep an eye on them. And if somebody tries to touch them, then the Pakwatchie will blow a whistle. We'll have time to get it back. So GP said, okay. They took off his backpack, took off his jacket, and hid it under Strongbones' jacket. And then put on his big apron, which was a big apron. Oh my goodness, it was a huge apron. He had to wrap it around himself several times before he could get it on. And then he was led over to an endless line of putts. And they gave him a couple of brushes. They gave him a big hard cake of old lye soap, which hurt his fingers. And they gave him cold water. And they said, Well, that meant get going. So Starling Bones and GP started scrubbing pots and pans, big pots, iron, cast iron pots, you name it. Oh, and they never ended, because as soon as they finished a set, they'd get another set. They get two sets. They get three sets. They'd scrub, scrub, scrub. They scrubbed till his knuckles were raw. And then GP was starting to talk to Strong Bones. And he started talking and said, well, what is this? How are we going to get out of here? And Strong Bones said, hey, no, we'll keep walking. We'll get away. I think that we're in a better position now, because we're not stuck in a cell where we can watch things going on, and we can maybe sneak out with some food. Maybe we can help take a tray up, just like those troll teens did. We can do that. Oh, well, let's just... And they were talking back and forth. Well, then Fidget, who heard them talking, said, hey, you, stop that. Stop that talking. Stop. Talk real people talk. Don't talk that howling. Strongbow said, uh-oh, we better. Do you know any troll? We have to speak in troll. And GP said, Joe, I can try. Well, it was good that GP was an ethnojournalist, because this was his opportunity now to really, really, really learn troll, because he couldn't speak English. And here's why. Because trolls. Now, trolls think of themselves as the real people. They are real people. And humans are sort of like, well, humans are something inferior. It's like the way you'd think of a monkey. You know, you're a human, and monkeys are cute. They swing by their tails. They go, whoo, 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 whoo. They make all sorts of sounds, but to you, it's just disturbing sounds that you don't want to listen to. They want them to talk English, so don't talk, right? Talk human. And so people tend to think of monkeys as being something that's inferior, not quite as good as humans, which, as you know and I know, is not the case, because monkeys are very clever beings, and they're kind of cool anyway. But we're not talking about monkeys. We're doing a comparison. So from the troll's point of view, humans are sort of interesting, inferior animals. Very clever. They make lots of things. Very clever. But so do ants. Ants make anthills. So they make very clever things, and the trolls keep them around so they can steal from them. That's the way the trolls see it. But they don't want to listen to humans hooting. Hoot, hoot. It's like listening to monkeys. Hoot, 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 hoot. They don't want to hear that. Nope. You talk, real talk, or don't talk. Oh, boy, was she tough. And Jean Adelina was tough. She carried a spoon. There was a spoon in her belt that swung by her belt. It was a big old ladle. Oh, it was a big one. It was a heavy one, too. And it was made out of stainless steel. Big, long, heavy head. And she used it when she had to stir a pot or take a taste. But if she caught some unruly teen who was a little bit flagrant, oh my goodness, bop, right in the bottom. Oh, that would hurt. That would hurt. But she was kind of rough and tough and rugged. So GP and Strong Bones were working away, and they were talking in troll, and they were trying to talk to each other. And Strong Bones were saying, well, look, I'll tell you some basic terms in troll, and then you can practice them, and we can go practicing back and forth. So there they stood, talking pot, pot, stove, stove, range, range, apron, apron. Oh, Fidget thought they were crazy. These two humans, they're crazy. They're repeating words that anybody would know. But they kept doing it, and over time, GP started to learn troll. He also started to look around, and he said, well, I should take pictures of this. This is really interesting. They're really busy in here, and everybody's working, and it's like one big machine. And it was like one big machine, because everybody was running around. The mammies were walking through the kitchens, making sure that everybody was working hard. The aunties were putting out food one after the other. The sisters were running around getting stuff ready, and teams of unruly teens were running out and running back, pulling trays of food everywhere through Troll Mountain. Well, one of those teams was Rocky, Bernie, and Grassy. And they had been going back and forth, pulling trays up to Mr. Glubb's apartments and back down up to Mr. Glubb's. They were kind of tired because they had been running. And they came in the kitchen, and they sat down and took a break. Because after all, even if you're an unruly teen, you do get a break. They looked down at the end of the kitchen, and who did they see? Hey, look who's down there. Look who's there. Our friends, our pals, our human pals, the pals that got us here in the first place. Rocky nudged Grassy, and Grassy looked down, and Birdie said, who? What? Who? And they saw GP and Strong Bones. And then Rocky said, look what they got. They got some coats up there, and what's that underneath the coats? That looks like a something. That looks like, you know, this guy has a lot of stuff. Remember his Jeep? It was full of stuff. We ran away before we could take it, but there's probably some good stuff in that. I think we ought to make sure it's ours. And Grassy said, huh? How are we going to do that? And Bertie said, no, we can't do that. We'll get a Pacuachi on us. We'll never get out of the kitchens. This will be bad. We can't steal stuff from the kitchens. And Rocky said, no, I have an idea. I know how we're going to do it. We're going to take over a big pot, and we're going to start complaining and say, they didn't clean this pot, and this is bad, and they shouldn't allow humans in here to do it, and we'll raise a ruckus. Me and Grassy will do it, okay? Rocky said, me and Grassy. And Bernie, what you're going to do is you're going to go sidle up to the coats, and you're not going to take anything. You're just going to bump the knapsack, bump whatever's there, that thing, and bump it to the floor. And then when it hits the floor, you just kick it. You kick it behind a waste basket or something. Kick it somewhere. We can get it later. Oh, that's a good idea. And then we'll see what they have. We'll see what they are. We'll see what we can do. Well, this was very dangerous for Rocky and Grassy and Bernie. And the reason it was dangerous is because no fighting in the kitchens. Did I ever tell you there are rules for the trolls? No fighting in the kitchens. But they didn't care because they were so mad at GP and Strongbones, because after all, it was GP and Strongbones' fault. It was their fault that they were working in the kitchens. That's the way they look at it. That's the way trolls see things. Trolls try to blame everything else on everybody else because they never do anything wrong after all. So they were working, and then GP and Strongbones were working, and they'd been working without a break. Oh, finally, Fidget noticed that they'd been working an awful long time. They really should have had their break a little while ago, and just because they were humans and kind of inferior didn't mean they shouldn't have something to eat. So she went over to one of the stoves, and she pulled out a big mushroom cake for each one of them, and she walked over, and she brought them each a big bucket of water and said, here, have some water. Have a nice, delicious mushroom cake, and then you have to go back to work, but you can take a breather. So they did. Well, when I say they had a mushroom cake, now, you know that there are fluorescent mushrooms inside the walls of Troll Mountain, and actually this makes the trolls very, very good eyesight. They have, because they grow up with no light, period, just these fluorescent mushrooms. And so they grow the mushrooms, but that's not the only mushrooms they grow. Because down on the bottom of Troll Mountain, they have the mudrooms. Yes, they have the mudrooms where they like to go play in the mud. But they also have long corridors and caverns where they grow enormous mushrooms, all sorts of mushrooms. Round ones and big tall ones and white ones and speckly red ones. Oh, they grow so many. And then they take them up to the kitchens and they have many, many dishes, because mushrooms, for the trolls, mushrooms are like bread would be for somebody, or rice. Or corn, you know, or pancakes, or whatever people eat. That's their basic substance. That's what they eat, and then everything else comes after that, and that's what they ate. And they ate mushrooms. Well, of course, it doesn't mean that's all they eat, because they do have a lively business absconding with human food, and that is one of their side businesses. And I have to say, I didn't mention this before, but when they do a big raid, a lot of times they'll take a bunch of sisters with them, because the sisters aren't going to be burdened with spears. No, they're not going to do that. Their job is to pick up stuff and run it back to Troll Mountain. And so that's what they do. And that's how the trolls move an awful lot of stuff up to Troll Mountain, because they have so many sisters who are willing to go on raiding parties as sort of like ninja trolls, if you know what I mean. So they sat down and they had their mushroom cake. And it was delicious, actually. It was very good. It was a big, round, mushroom-like rice cake, but it was made of mushroom, and it had little bits and pieces of stuff in it, and they didn't want to ask, but it was good. And while they were sitting there, Strongbones looked way down the kitchen, and he said, oh, GP, oh, I see our friends are here. Our friends are at the end of the kitchen. Ah, I wonder what they're up to. I keep my eye on them. Let's make sure we watch out for them, because they could be trouble. Well, this is true. They are trouble. They could be trouble. And in the sense, because they're trolls, there's also something else you can know about trolls. Now, if you had been good and you had read your book, Longstreet Bones, Masters of the Underground, Troll Society and Economy, if you had read chapter 18, it would have told you all about the what Longstreet Bones calls the ethics of power. Now, the ethics of power, well, he spends some time because he's an egghead intellectual, but basically the ethics of power are this, control mind. If I'm bigger than you, I can take what you have. See? Easy. It's a very simple rule. If I'm bigger than you, I can take what I want. However, if I'm bigger than you, I can take what I want if you don't have friends who are bigger than me. Because after all, if I beat up one of you, that's one thing. But if there are two of you, that's a little different story, because now I have to beat up two of you to take your things. And trolls are thieves, so taking things from other people are just what they like to do. Then I have to watch out. So then I have to have friends. So then if I and my friends are bigger and stronger than you, we can take what you have. Except the other side has friends. And so troll society is built on this funny array of friends and friends and friends and family and friends and people who aren't friends. And there are tensions, but it's a very interesting way to live. But Strongbones knew this. And so Strongbones said, you know what? I have a feeling they're going to try to push something through on us, because I'm just going to watch them. So they finished up their mushroom cake, and they went back to working. And then they noticed a commotion, a ruckus, a nonsense, a yelling. And striding down the kitchen came Rocky and Grassy, and Ray were holding this big old pot. This pot, oh my goodness, this was so pot, you could have put Strongbones and GP in it and put water in it on top and made human soup if you wanted, because they came down. And it was big, and it was dirty and filthy and charred. Hey, you humans, you didn't do this pot. Look at this pot. This is terrible. You got to do this pot. Oh, they made such a commotion. All the sisters stopped and looked and said, what's that commotion? All the aunties stopped cooking and looked up and said, what's that commotion? What's going on? What's the commotion? And a couple of the mammies, not the big mammy, not the great aunt of Mr. Glove himself. She wasn't there in the kitchens. Are you kidding me? She was up in the apartments having her big feast or pig end with Mr. Glove. But this was some of the other mammies, you know, his cousins, and they were related. And they said, what's going on? You're unruly youth. You go back to work. Grassy and Rocky said, no, this pot, this is unacceptable. If I cleaned this pot, I'd be beaten with your rolling pins. But I didn't. This is humans did it. Humans. And they walked down and shoved it right in front of Strongbones. And then they stood up nose to nose to him and said, you better do a better job. Well, this was a good example of troll intimidation, because all of a sudden, all of the kitchen was looking at this altercation. Strongbones, though, was saying, I don't think I'm having any of this. So he stood up and looked at Rocky, and he said, in perfect troll, you are wrong. You are telling a lie, and I will prove it to you. And Rocky stepped back a second, because, see, while trolls are aggressive, and while they will push into your face, and while they're natural bullies, they do have a tendency to expect that of everybody else. And therefore, if you push back at a troll, it makes them think a bit, ooh, maybe he has got bigger friends than me. So they stepped back to rethink about things. So Rocky stepped back. And then Grassy walked up to Strongbones and said, you made a mess, and we're going to be blamed for your mess. Well, I'm not going to take that. You're going to have to clean this again until I'm happy. And Strongbones looked at Grassy. And he said, oh, really? Really? You think I'm going to clean that? You didn't do it because you don't know how to clean things. That's not one of my pots. Look. And he pointed down the side. And there was a little line in troll. Now, trolls don't have writing. They don't write, and they don't really know numbers. They can count their fingers, and they can count their toes if they're really smart. But they do make marks. And the marks just show who's what auntie the pots belong to, because each auntie has a little mark, and they put it on their pots. They write it in chalk, and so then you can see it. And he pointed to it, and then he pointed way down the corridor to where the auntie, whose pot it really was standing with her hands on her hips. And he said, look! This pot's supposed to go down there. That's where you came from. It's you who know how to clean a pot. What are you talking about? And he stood up really tall, and he pushed his shoulders up, and he pushed his nose out, and he stood right down back at Grassy. Grassy was, and then Rocky said, hey, you can't talk to my friend like that. What do you think? Perfect position now. 2-on-1, you see. Well, that might have worked, except GP stood up and said, hey, what are you talking about? What are you? You are the ones who doing this thing. You wash this. I'm not touching that. That's not my pot. That's your pot. You take that back." Well, he said this in English and troll, because he really couldn't get it all out. But he was angry too, and he stood up straight and he looked him right in the face. Well, this was a little interesting altercation, and it was getting kind of like a lot of attention. And so nobody was watching Bernie. And Bernie sidled up to the jackets. Everybody had their jacket or their tunic or something thrown up. And he sidled up, and he just kind of like was watching it. And he leaned over, and he just yanked. And he yanked Strongbones' jacket off, and he yanked GP's jacket off, and he yanked the backpack off. And he yanked them down and let them fall on the floor. And then very slowly, he just pushed the backpack and kicked it between two ovens, behind a wastebasket. And then he kind of like walked into the crowd. Well, just at that moment, the Pakwachi looked up and saw that two jackets were on the floor, and he blew his whistle. Tweet! And he blew it really hard. And everybody stopped. And then Rocky and Grassy stopped, and GP and Strongbone stopped, and all the aunties and the sisters stopped, and the mammies looked around. And there, in the whole area where people hung up their clothes, where trolls put their clothes up, were the two jackets on the floor. Strongbone said, "What? What?" And he ran over, and he picked up his jacket, picked up GP's jacket. And he said, "Where's the backpack? What happened to the backpack?" And he looked around. He said, "Who took the backpack?" And everybody looked at him and said, "Huh? What? Huh? What backpack? Huh? What?" And GP ran up and couldn't find it. "Where's the backpack? Who took my backpack?" But I couldn't see anybody. But at that point, up strode the mammy who was in charge, out of the end of the kitchen, where Grassy and Bernie and Rocky were supposed to be. And she grabbed Bernie by the ear. "Hey, you baldy boy, what are you doing down here?" And she shook him by the ear. "Ouch, poor, oh, Bernie, oh, your ear." She dropped him, and she said, "You get out of here." And she took out her rolling pin. Now, we've got to talk about a lot of things. Mammies have big, long rolling pins. Aunties have smaller rolling pins, and the sisters always have small rolling pins, but they're very effective too. Sometimes, like Fidget, they also have big spoons. Spoons are good. Spoons are very good. They're useful. But sometimes they use the rolling pins. They use them in ways that are very rough. Let me say that. Very rough. For example, they'll take a swipe and crack a roll across the ribs and say, "Get back to work." This is not acceptable. It's not what you do if you're human. But trolls being trolls, that's what they did. And she pulled out her big rolling pin, and she said, "You get down there and back to work before I give you a taste of this." And she swung it at Bernie. Well, Bernie knew it was coming. He took off. And trolls can run faster than they want to run. Boom, he was gone. Then she saw Rocky, and she saw Grassy, and the two of them were standing there looking around. And she says, "You two, you get back there." And she grabbed Grassy by the nose, and she pulled him. And then she took Bernie Rocky by the hair, and she grabbed his spiky hair. And she said, "You shouldn't be down here. Go, 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 go." And she pushed him. And they both ran off because they knew she had a pretty wicked arm and pretty good rolling pin. So they ran off to the other end. That left GP and Strongbones looking at each other saying, "Where's the backpack? What happened to the backpack? Where did the backpack go?" And they wanted to start searching, but that's when Fidget came up. I said, "You two, stop causing so much trouble. You get back to work, starting with that pot." And she pointed to the pot that Rocky and Grassy had brought down. And Strongbones looked up and said, "That's not our pot." And GP said, "That's not our pot." And he said that in troll. He said it pretty well. "That's not our pot." And Fidget just said, "I don't care whose pot it is. It is yours to clean. Now go clean it." And she picked up her spoon and just tapped it a little bit on the pot and say, "I want this spick and span." Oh. So they set back to cleaning another pot. Oh, William, I don't know what to say. Everything that GP is going to use to explain that the trolls really were destructive of his Jeep, and to get his Jeep back, and to get Strongbow's Jeep, they're gone. What happened to them? Well, I know where they are. You know where the backpack is. And if Strongbones and GP had a chance to search around the kitchen, they'd find the backpack. Because it was just kicked between two stoves. No, it's between two stoves, just sitting there, sort of in the dirt, in the shadows. But it's there. And so Bernie has to get back and get it. But, this can be hard now because the mammy's watching him. and the mammies watching the other two unruly teens, because there's nothing that gets you watched more than being unruly. And sometimes when you don't do what you're told, that gets them watching you even more. So, what a predicament. Here they are in the kitchens, slaving away, and there's no place to sleep, because I can tell you, when they finally get a break, you know where they're going to have to sleep? Back with the werewolves. So, I don't know what to say. This was a really not a good moment in GP's life. But he thought to himself, okay, I'm an ethnojournalist, and I have to understand how different peoples live in different societies, and this is my opportunity, and I'm going to make the best of it. And Strongbones thought, well, here we're in the deep of it, but you know what? I think I know a trick or two with these trolls, and besides, we have to get this stuff back from Mr. Glove. This is only right and only fair. I want to make sure it happens. So he says, well, I'm going to make the best of it, and I'm gonna make it work. And he got back to work. And down at the other end of the kitchen, Rocky and Grassy and Bernie were all, look what they did. Look what they did. They made us get into more trouble. It's their fault. They made us get into more trouble. And they grumbled and growled and rumbled. But then they were sent out taking more food up to Mr. Glove's kitchen and back again at a run. And hurry up and get back here because we have more to go. And they spent the next couple of hours running their little feet off while Strongbones and GP scrub till their knuckles were raw. And that is the end of today's chapter. Oh my goodness, what a predicament. What's going to happen? Who are they going to find? Who's going to get the backpack? How are they going to get out of Troll Mountain? Oh no, are they even going to get a jeep back? Are they going to have to walk back? What's going to happen? Well, Mr. William, I don't really know. We have to find out. So that's tomorrow's story. So I'll tell you another one. But for tonight, I love you, William. Have a great sleep. And I hope you hug your little sister, Lauren, and tell her you love her. And you hug your parents. They're wonderful. And I hope you wake up in the morning ready and roaring to have fun. Love you, William.